20. But for right now, I just want to start in Acts chapter 18. Verse 23 of our text. And after he had spent some time there, that is Antioch, he departed and went over all the country of Galatia and Phrygia in order, strengthening all the disciples. Oh, sorry, brother. What we see here is not Paul exercising dominion. Antioch is not as an authority over the churches in these two areas. What's happening is the missionary is going back and checking the fences. He's making sure everything that he has built has stayed that way. Because one thing that history has taught us is that it doesn't matter how strong a church is at its beginning, apostasy happens. And what he's doing is he's going back through and he's checking for this apostasy. Is everything good? And says that he's strengthening them. He's going through them in order. Okay, we're going to stop at this one. And then we're going to be over here next week. We'll be there. Okay, we got some problems here. We're going to extend our stay. We'll be here for a little bit longer as we retrain the pastor, retrain the church. Make sure that everybody has a full understanding of what we have in the Bible. And folks, that's why it's necessary for us to have things like Sunday school and regular preaching services. Why? Because you spend all this time out here in this world. And no doubt you're doing your best to stay away from false religion. You're doing your best to stay away from sin. But we need regular reminders. This is what the Bible says. Now, Paul did not go around checking the brand. We want to make sure we got Baptist on the signs. We want to make sure we got Baptist on the shirts. We want to make sure that we're teaching the formulaic Baptistic doctrine. He wasn't checking the brand. You know what he was doing? He was going around with this. He was going around with what he had of this. He was going back through with the word. He was going back through with the testimonies of the disciples. Again, he didn't have all of this, but he's going through with what he had. Okay, are you teaching this according to what Jesus said? Are you teaching that? Well, brother, what's the difference? To me, nothing. If you believe and you follow what Jesus said, you'll be a Baptist, no doubt. Absolutely. But you know the difference between, well, we want to make sure we're on brand. That's why we got 50,000 different genders, flavors of Baptist. I bumped into a guy yesterday. Every year, my dad and I, we go to the Apple Fest down there, and we just walk through, and just something my dad and I do, and my mom was there, and of course, I brought Danielle and the kids, and even my brother showed up to this one. And every year, where my dad's favorite place to eat is, it's a stand that comes up, Bayou Billy's. It's his absolute favorite place. It's pretty much dog food, but it's his favorite. And it's a tradition, and that's what you do. And he's sitting there, and every time he goes there, there's a Baptist church, Hope Baptist Church. They've got a little tent there. So I wasn't feeling the hottest, so while Dad's doing his food run, I'm talking to the people at the Baptist tent. What kind of Baptist are you? What are you doing down here? Well, we're an independent fundamental Baptist, he says. I said, well, that's wonderful. That's kind of where we are. I go, do you believe this? Do you believe that? It's not about the names, guys. I keep getting into conversations with people who are Baptist that have a dozen different names after them, like they've got PhDs in something. You either believe the Bible or you don't. Either believe the Bible or you don't. And you get into arguments with people. Well, do you believe in Calvinism? First off, if you really study what Calvin believed, you'd find out that he was probably one of the worst people in theological history. You can't say that around a lot of people because they'll think, that's blasphemy. You study Calvin, he knew something about blasphemy. I believe in the doctrines of grace because of these, how many verses did we go through when we studied the doctrines of grace? Because the Bible says this. As Dr. Ronnie Wolf once said in our class, I too would have a hard time with the doctrines of grace were it not that I kept tripping over it in the scriptures. Well, God would never choose some apart from others. Well, what about Abraham or Abram at the time? What did he call Israel? My chosen people. Yeah, he would. Well, God would never, never harden someone's heart to where they wouldn't. Tell that to Pharaoh. Here's an idea. What if we just let the Bible say what it says? Half the time you get some of these people with all the different brand names. Right? And again, typically when a man starts talking like this, it's because they're about to apostatize themselves. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, this is what the Bible says. If you can't prove what you believe by the Bible, you better. And if you can't, you need to take a step back. I told a guy recently, I said, listen, you don't have enough wood to fuel that fire you got. Because that's what, wow, you just, They're there. Speak to me in Bible. Don't yell at me. Don't scream about the people whose books you've read. Don't yell at how you, don't start belittling me. Because that sound means you've run out of fuel. That's what my car does, right? When you go across E, what does it do? Bing! Makes that beep sound at you. What do? You better go get some fuel. That's what I tell them. You're making a particular noise to me. It sounds like you ain't got Bible verses left in you. Go get some, come back. Here's my email address. Here's my phone number. We must let the Bible say what it says, and that is what Paul was doing. And as he would go through these churches, man, we would see it in other places in Scripture, he's running into these Judaizers that were mixing grace and the law. Grace fulfilled the law. It didn't abolish it, didn't partner with it. It fulfilled it. It's done. It's paid. So he's going through and he's just strengthening them. Hey, let me show you this. Let me reteach you that. Verse 24, and a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man, and we looked at this last week, where he's in there. And he's teaching baptism wrong because all he had was the wrong baptism. Somebody, Aquila and Priscilla, brought him into the house. And they said, now here, let me show you some things. And now we got the man back on track. And we'll see later where that kind of becomes a bit of a problem. Acts chapter 19 and verse 1. And it came to pass that while Apollos was in Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coasts, came to Ephesus and finding certain disciples. Remember a couple weeks ago, he's standing on the banks of Ephesus and he says, I will come back, has a little MacArthur moment, I shall return. Verse 2, and he said unto them, have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And we looked at that in authority and baptismal, and authority through baptism, where it comes from, what it is. We looked at that as well, and that's kind of the mess that was made there. They did not understand fully what baptism was. And of course, that can be summed up simply. When John was baptizing them, they're saying, I believe that the Messiah is coming. He will live a perfect life. He will die. He will be buried. And 3 days later, he will rise again. That's what they're saying. If somebody comes forward in our church and they say, I believe that Jesus Christ came, lived a perfect life, died for the atonement of our sins, was buried, and 3 days rose again, what would we take that to mean if they said that? That's a saved person. The Lord has saved that person. So what is John doing? John is sitting there listening to these people make these declarations. That's what he's doing. I believe this. I believe this. I believe this. Now, is that baptism saving them? No. The baptism is a result of having been saved. When I'm saved, when the Holy Spirit does his work in me, then I get it. These last few Wednesdays, we've been working together, looking, and this last Wednesday, we worked really hard on practicing the giving of the gospel. And at the end, we all came up with objections, different objections that people make and how to overcome them. And then I hit you with this, and some of you gave me a worried look. All of these objections are smoke screens. You can't actually overcome an objection. The objection. What's the objection? I am dead and refuse to believe. You can't fix that. You can't fix that. It almost kind of seemed like at some point people were asking, well, what about this person that said this? It's a smoke screen. You can knock the smoke screen away, but guess what? You'll either just make them angry or they'll launch another. Who overcomes the final and the only real objection of I am dead and refuse to believe? Jesus Christ does. You can't do it. So you know what you got to do? You take that pressure right off yourself. Well, they won't, they still won't believe. That was never your mission. I can show you the fire escape. I can't make you use it. I can give you the bicycle helmet. I can't put it on you. I can't make you do what only the Holy Spirit will do. Just coming back from the thing with my, I had my brother in the shotgun seat because I like to get him alone and talk to him as much as I can. Sitting there listening to a song. And the song's premise is pretty much, you know, it's referring to a person who grew up in a religious setting and they were saved. But then because of the call of the world and their sin nature, they fled out and they backslid and they became the black sheep. I sit there in my head going, maybe I should turn this off. This is a little too on point for what we're talking about right now. I let it play. My heart is broken over family members I have that are lost. It's broken. And when I pray, sometimes I pray in tears, and sometimes I pray like I've prayed it for a billionth time. Lord, please save so-and-so and save so-and-so. And it keeps just round-robining on me, man. It comes back and goes and comes back and goes. Just how broken my heart is. You know, every now and then it's good, and every now and then it hits me. I can't do anything about that. What I'm supposed to do is present the gospel. What I'm supposed to do is live a sanctified life before them. What I'm supposed to do is pray for them. But man, if I had the ability to say a particular phrase that would bring people to salvation, I would record it. We would be blasting it nonstop out into the air. I told a guy one time, and he was one of those faith healers. I go, man, if I had the power you had, I wouldn't be here making money. I would be at the hospitals. Get up. If I had the power you claim to have, you wouldn't catch me. And we were both elbow deep into a fryer at McDonald's, by the way. Just scrubbing the side of it with the cleanser. I go, he's like, oh yeah, I healed a lady at Walmart yesterday. She was riding through on the wheelchair. And I healed her, and then as I was walking away, I said, can I pray for you? And I prayed for her, and as I was walking away, you know, I was going doing my shopping. I came around, I saw her get off of the motorized scooter, get up and grab something off the top shelf, and go and sit back down. And he was patting himself on the back for that. I don't think he understood about people in the Walmart scooters. Just because you're in one doesn't mean you can't walk. And just because you're on one don't mean you need one. There's a degree, there's varying degrees of people on the Walmart scooters. Some can barely get through the store, so they get the scooters. Some just like a scooter. I can't, you know, it's just you get varying degrees. Some people, they can walk just enough to get to the scooter. That's all they got in them. And I'm glad those are there for those kind of folks. But they can still get up and pull stuff. Anyway, man, if I had the power you had, I wouldn't be in here with my arm in this fryer. I'd be at the hospitals saving a bunch of people copays, just left and right. That's what I would do. If I could do the work that God can do, that only God can do, man, I'd be doing it. But go ahead and try it. It won't work for you. Salvation is of the Lord, and not just because it was His blood. I was a kid. I was invited to church a dozen different times. We even had a program in the school. Well, it wasn't from the school, but it was a program that worked well with the school, where the school gave permission for certain kids who were members of that church to skip and go to their vacation Bible school. These guys put vacation Bible school in the middle of the school year, and the kids got permission to do their first couple courses, and at a particular time, the church van came to pick them up. They could go and go there. I was invited to join them, and I still said no. Come to church? No, I would rather play my video games. Come to church? No, I would rather do this. People will try to talk to me about the Lord. I don't care. I don't want to hear about it. And many of you, you grew up wild. Come to church? You said no. They'd give you the gospel. You'd get mad. So what did the person say to you that was so eloquent and so perfect, and so wonderful, it broke the sinner inside of you? I heard somebody, they gave this testimony. They said, the person who gave me the gospel when the Lord saved me gave it to me the worst of anybody who ever gave it to me. You can't make people believe. Well, but they've got all these objections, and they're going to. Your job is to hand it to them. You know what the Holy Spirit's going to do? The Holy Spirit breaks that smokescreen, breaks that objection, and there's no more left. Just like He did for you. Just like He did for you. And Paul's going around. He's coming to Ephesus, and he's about to have some major problems in the form of a temple to Artemis. The city here, Pergamos, was the official capital of the Roman province of Asia, but Ephesus was its leading city, right? So you've got, you know, where the capital is, but then you got where the money's made, and that's Ephesus. We see that this is another brilliant, wonderful place. This is another metropolis. Same thing that we have seen in so many cities so far. Money, traitors, sin, false religion, all sorts of wonderful things to the flesh could be found in Ephesus. Dominating the landscape of Ephesus was the Artemision, the great temple of Artemis, one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. This temple was built on a massive platform measuring 425 feet by 220 feet, big place. It is in books. It is in pictures that you could no doubt go buy and hang on your wall. Inside the temple was the image of the goddess, said to have come down from Jupiter or Zeus. And it would have been an amazing sight. People would have come far and wide to walk up those stairs, go into the temple, and see the image of the goddess. Now, Artemis was the original name. Eventually, when the Romans took over, and now it's in Rome, it became Diana. Because remember, with all these pagan religions, same formula, different names. Same formula, different names. You don't have to study pagan religion too deep to see, oh, we're just doing the same thing. What we started in Mesopotamia, evolved and the names changed. You go over to Far East Asia, even with their gods, it's the same formula. There's a god of the river, a god of this, a god of that. Even when it became, when this pagan idolatry became the Roman Catholic Church, now all of a sudden we've got saints, the saint of this, the saint of that. We don't add anything new. The devil, he is not a creative being, at least not one who's very creative. He just keeps rebranding the same things. If you were here, you knew Diana. You might have, depending on your family lineage, you might have still referred to that statue as Artemis, but you knew Diana. He walked right into that. He walked right into that with no fear. Today, when people look for where to start a church, I want to be close to the highway. We want to see what there was even a report I read. Now, when any church goes or any business goes into an area, they check on the potential ROI, the return on investment. That's why you have cities like this that aren't doing so well anymore, because they'll come in, they'll say, this is the medium income, this is how much potentially we could make out of an area like this, this is what the statistics tell us we possibly could make out of that, and that's not enough for us to make that investment, so we're out. So there's even some reports that say, hey, before a church goes into an area, you need to check the ROI, the return on investment, as if financial gain is a reason for spiritual activity. Just goes to show you what most of religion is. He walks into this area. And I want to go to chapter 20, verse 18. This is Paul reflecting back to his entry into Ephesus. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons. I have been with you at all seasons. Now in the Bible, when we refer to seasons, there's two different ways to look at the word seasons. Number one, spring, winter, fall, so on. The other one is times, right? Times where people were interested in the gospel, times where people are not interested in the gospel, times of revival, times of backsliding, times of maintenance mode, different periods of being able to describe periods of time. Paul says, I have been with you from different at all seasons. Now, what could that mean? Well, if you're there for the full calendar's offering of seasons, you're there for all the things. I've been with you for all the things. Serving the Lord with what? All humility. All humility. I'm not doing this because I want you to be invested in Paul the Apostle ministries. I'm doing this because I serve the gospel. And it's important for you to understand who God is, what he has done for you, and what he wants you to do in bringing others to him. So the humility of mind and with many tears. With many tears. There are people out there who are dying and going to hell. And every now and then you ought to cry. Shouldn't bog you down, shouldn't break you. We'll talk about this later this morning. There's a way in which the good things God has given us to have and to do, we can get bogged down with because we look at it wrong, we handle it wrong, we deal with it wrong. There are people in this church, there are people in sister churches, they are struggling, they are having hard times. We ought to serve them with tears. Tears of joy, tears of sorrow, of compassion. He says, and temptations. Oh, and temptations. Man, we think we've cornered the market on temptation.
We think we've done something new in this brand new day and age. But man, imagine Paul walking through a place like Ephesus where they've got fertility goddesses on display. And it wasn't just that they would have it out there, that that behavior was not only encouraged, but you were insulted for not taking part. Folks, that sounds like today, don't it? What do you mean you don't want to do this? What do you mean you don't watch that? What do you mean you don't take part in this? What's wrong with you? To which case I'm often having to ask people, what does it matter to you that I don't do that? Told somebody recently, well, you work for a beer company? You guys struggling? Listen, Anheuser-Busch ain't struggling without me, man. They ain't struggling without me. The marijuana companies are not going to die because I don't take part in them. And if they do, I'll be honest with you, I'm going to be glad. Do a lot of damage. But it ain't enough for me to buy something from you. I pray you find a good job. If people ask me, hey, can you please pray? I've got this job down here at the bar, a job interview for the bar down there. Will you please pray? I will pray for the Lord's will. Well, what does that mean? It means I don't want you to get the job. I want God to give you a better job. Well, that's not what I'm asking for. Well, I'm not a genie and neither is my God. So what are you going to do? What are you going to do, man? Go find a lamp and rub it, man, because God ain't gonna bless that. He will give you something more honorable. He'll give you something better than what you think you need. But he ain't gonna do that for you. He walks into these temptations. They were everywhere. Temptations for them, temptations for him, and he stood by. This is which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. He speaks clearly what the temptation is. You know what the temptation for Paul would have almost always been? Shut up. That would have been his temptation. Shut up. Hush. We don't have that right. We don't have that option. When we say that Paul was tempted by the Jews, and we'll pick up with this next week, we're not talking about, hey, we've got large stones and bats and swords, so shut up. That's not the extent of it. These people were people he knew. These were people he stood for. These were people that knew him back in his Saul the Persecutor days. And they're trying to figure out what broke in this guy's brain. Who messed with your head? There's a big temptation there. And I wonder how often it wasn't just the threat of violence. I wonder how often Paul was tempted with, listen, you come back, we'll absolve you. You come back, we got a position for you. Look at you. You're getting beat up in every city you go. You're having to work to keep going. You never had to work when you dealt with us. You never had to sit there and fix sails and mend nets. You never had to do that with us. We'll give you a prominent position. You come back right now, we'll redeem you. I wonder how often that happened. There's a lot of temptation to keep your mouth shut. But as many a person picked up at 2 a.m., you may have the right to remain silent, don't have the ability. As David said, he tried to keep silent, nearly burned him up inside. Let that be said of us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this morning. Lord, forgive me for my lack of focus. Lord, just chasing rabbits, it feels. But these are very important. We have to understand, I believe, why Paul did what he did. And Lord, how that matches what we're facing today. Lord, there's a lot of temptation in this world to be quiet. As the gods that they have, Lord, take prominence in our lives. Lord, help us to reject that. Lord, instead, to follow you faithfully and to serve you with a zeal and a strength, Lord, that only comes from you. We love you, Lord, and we're grateful for this word being preserved for our knowledge. For its name in Jesus we pray. Amen.